Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Bhakti Bhai Bhava ki.
Jai.
Granta Rash Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Jai.
Giridas Maharaj.
Jai.
Jai Nithai Gopriman.
Jai.
So if you haven't had it in your open book examinations, you should hand them in this week. Otherwise, I don't think I'll accept them after this. Not so many have been handed in, but it's your choice. If you like to hand them in, then please do. If you don't, then... Okay, so what did we discuss last week?
Those who are engaged in devotional service, they increasingly feel very happy and inspired by the super soul. As Bhagavad Gita says, Kresham Sudhikshanam Vratam Piti Gurusam Tadami Ji Gurusam Sami Gurusam. Very much inspired.
Yeah. Anything else?
The Pratyekas cooperated with each other and he told us how when we cooperate with each other we get blessings. And we should not argue, we should communicate.
Any other points?
If we have opulence, we should use it in the service of Krishna. Like Amrish is doing, Alfred, or he is doing so much service for my good temple.
Anything else?
Lord Vishnu showed his eight-handed form to the Prachetas and he had a garden in the preaching of him.
Any other points?
If we are enemies of anyone, that means we are enemies of Krishna.
So we're seeing that the Prachetas, they heard the sun sung by Lord Shiva back in chapter 24, and then now in chapter 30 they recited those prayers, they meditated upon the Lord, and then ultimately they received the darshan of the Lord. So we'll see now tonight, we'll go from verses 23 through 36. Tomorrow night I think we'll finish the chapter, which means that the closed book examination will be in a few weeks at the end of chapter 31. We'll choose the date soon. So tonight we'll hear how the Prachetas, they begin to offer prayers to the Lord once they have the darshan of the Lord, and they give us instructions on how to approach him in the right attitude in the devotional service. Any other points? Sorry, verse 22. Sorry, verse 22. To 36. The Prachetas spoke as follows. Dear Lord, you relieve all kinds of material distress. Your magnanimous transcendental qualities and holy name are all auspicious. This conclusion is already settled. You can go faster than the speed of mind and words. You cannot be perceived by material senses. We therefore offer you respectful obeisances again and again. So it is being explained in this purport that the Vedas are the law book for humanity. Generally, it is thought in the modern age that in order to understand a subject, you must research it. So we have many universities all over the world and many research centres in educational institutions who are trying to research different subject matters. But factually speaking, as Prabhupada points out, the Vedas have already stated the truth about how to exist in this material world. So it is not necessary to study otherwise. Just like in the science of health, we have the Ayurveda. So the Ayurveda means that there is lessons for humanity, how to live and eat properly, and work and rest, and how to keep the mind and the body peaceful and happy. So it doesn't need to be researched so much further. But now there's so much research being done into different subject matters. But as Prabhupada points out, the Vedas are the law books. So therefore, when we take the authority of the Vedas, then our lives become successful. So for devotees, we accept the authority of the Vedas, as opposed to simply researching something independently to find the truth. Now, Prabhupada also points out that ultimately, the Vedas teach us that Krishna is attained by bhakti. Vedeshu dulabham adulabham atma bhakto. People study the Vedas, all sorts of areas in the Vedas, continuously, but it's very difficult to understand Krishna unless one comes to the conclusion of the Vedas, which is bhakti. And then the Vedas become very easy to understand. Okay. But otherwise, if one tries to understand God or understand Krishna independently of performing practical devotional service, then you will not understand God. So, it is not, as Prabhupada points out, we are not armchair philosophers. And devotees are practical in terms of their approach to Krishna. Devotees try to understand Krishna by devotional service, not simply by studying. Even the bhakti shastras, you can do so much study, but then you have to do some practical service for Krishna. Unless you're very advanced, and then you can simply meditate on Krishna, and that will be sufficient. But otherwise, you have to do something practically to please Krishna. So the whole point of studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, the whole point of the Bhakti Vaibhav course, is that we become inspired to serve Krishna, do some practical service for Krishna, give some pleasure to Krishna. So that is the point. It is not just armchair philosophy. It is not that we simply study and we become learned and then we pass our exam at the end of the sixth canto and then we tell everyone, I am a Bhakti Vaibhavi. I have the title. BV. So this is not the purpose of the study. The purpose of the study is to become inspired to serve Krishna, as the devotees within the Bhagavatam practically do. So, any points?
In the 15th chapter, 15th verse, Krishna says, Veda ichchatar vai rahami. In the Veda, I am the compiler of
Krishna. Once Prabhupada was giving lecture in Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. So Prabhupada said, this is MIT, but where is the knowledge of Almighty?
Of what? Knowledge of?
Almighty.
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 Any other points?
But then this Radhika Raman Prabhu, he did his PhD in Jiva Goswami's on Jiva Goswami's teaching. So there was no research to do there. So I can't understand how he researched that.
What do you mean?
He said the Vedas are all there, there's no need to research, everything is there. So when devotees write some thesis on the Goswami's teaching, do they just present facts?
Yeah, partially. It is like when you have the telescope, then when you have more lenses in between, then everything becomes expanded more. You get clearer vision. So Jiva Goswami explains, and then Radhika Raman Prabhu explains what Jiva Goswami explained, based on what Prabhupada explained, then it becomes even more clear. It becomes even more understood like that. So they're simply elaborating upon like that. So Prabhupada said, this is disciplic succession, then each personality will elaborate. Srila Vyasadeva compiled, Shukadeva Goswami spoke, and then it became even more sweeter. So each devotee will take it to deeper and deeper understanding. The facts don't change, but just the presentation and the elaboration. Most of us will never even read the Sundarbas, probably. Many of us may not read the Sundarbas. So then Radhika Ramaprabhu, then he is bringing the Sundarbas to us in a palatable way, in an understandable way. Any other points? Dear Lord, we beg to offer our obeisances unto you. When the mind is fixed upon you, the world of duality, although a place for material enjoyment, appears meaningless. Your transcendental form is full of transcendental bliss. We therefore offer our respects unto you. Your appearances as Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva are meant for the purpose of creating, maintaining, and annihilating this cosmic manifestation. So, ultimately, we become free from this world of duality by developing a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. As the verse says here, the material world becomes meaningless for a devotee. This is a sign that you are advancing in Krishna consciousness when the material world becomes less and less meaningful. So, this is the entire philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. Param Dishtva Nibhatate. You will release yourself from your lower tendency to enjoy the material world only by receiving a superior pleasure from serving Krishna. So this is the entire philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which elaborates upon the Bhagavad Gita. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings and his life, he teaches us this principle. This is what is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shikshastra. Mahaprabhu is only accredited for writing 8 verses. He himself instructed his followers to elaborate upon that. That is very common that great teachers do this, just like you see Lord Jesus also did like this. Lord Buddha, I believe, also did like that. They personally do not write or so much, but they will speak and they will ask their followers to elaborate upon the philosophy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he only wrote the 8 verses of the Shikshastika, and it describes in the Shikshastika this philosophy of developing a superior taste in Krishna consciousness. Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundurim, Kavitam Vajagan Isha Kamiye, Mama Jamani, Jamanishwara, Bhagavata, Bhakti, Boitukito. So when one gets a superior taste from Krishna, then Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundurim, Kavitam. And one becomes detached from the material world. Nadanam means one is not attached to material acquisition. Najanam, one is not attracted to followers for self-aggrandizement. Nasundarim, kavitam. One is not attracted to the sweet words of the opposite sex. This is ahoituki bhakti, or unmotivated devotional service. Of course, all of us are still attached to these things, grossly or subtly, but pure devotional service is free from those attachments. And when one renders pure devotional service to Krishna, then one becomes absorbed in the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, and one loses one's attraction to the material world. That is our philosophy. And that's what Shikshastika gradually teaches us as it evolves. Any other points?
Can you see Akinchan Gochara? Akinchan Gochara.
When Kunti said. Queen Kunti said that one must become akinchana, which means one must become materially exhausted to serve Krishna. Because if you're still attached to material things, then how can you transcend the material world? So Lord Queen Kunti says, then you must become akinchana. which means that's one of the 26 qualities of the devotee, is that he is akinchana. Akinchana means without material acquisition. So it says at the end of life, then one must become renounced. You see, like Prabhupada, how he was living in Radha Damodar Mandir. So Prabhupada was 65 to about 69, he was living in the Radha Damodar Mandir. He was akinchana. You see pictures of Prabhupada when he was there, practically no material possessions. So we should become renounced, detached. Any other points?
The last line of the translation. See, there are so many Indian people that say there is no difference between Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh. And the similar thing is written in the last ending, that your appearance as Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva are main common. The word your appearances.
Because they are guna avatars.
So, if it's written your appearances.
Achha.
As Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, then what is the difference what they say and is different?
Because they don't understand the Siddhanta or the philosophy like that. How Krishna is one and different.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't understand properly. They say, but they don't understand. They think it is all one. It is, it may be one, but it's also different. Sometimes Brahma is Jiva Tattva, Shiva is Shiva Tattva, Vishnu is Vishnu Tattva. So it's different. One, but it's also different. So you have to understand these things clearly. You can only understand these things when you hear the philosophy in disciplic succession. From a bona fide teacher, then you can understand.
See, I think the Ben doesn't that for me.
Yeah, that's the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita.
So, that can explain.
Yeah, if you understand that, then you'll understand the Bhagavad Gita. But if you don't understand that philosophy, then you will not understand it. Because that is the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. That's what Lord Chaitanya taught. So. Any other point?
When Srila Prabhupada was in his last days, some of his godbrothers had gone to meet him and he said, "Koi ichha nahi, I don't have any desire."
Dear Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you because your existence is completely independent of all material influences. Your Lordship always takes away the devotee's miserable conditions, for your brain plans how to do so. You live everywhere as Paramatma, therefore you are known as Vasudev. You also accept Vasudev as your father, and you are celebrated by the name Krishna. You are so kind that you always increase the influence of all kinds of devotees. So, Prabhupada explained in the first four paragraphs of the purport that the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us that the Krishna and the the Supreme Lord Krishna and the Devatas are not equal. This is a common misconception, especially in India. People think there is complete equality between all the Devatas and between the Supreme Lord himself. Yeah? But this is not taught or accepted by the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching that the Supreme Lord is different to the demigods. There's no equality there. And one who has this type of impure understanding, he cannot become fully purified in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in chanting the holy name of the Lord, and one of the offences is to equate the name of the demigod and the name of the Supreme Lord. as being equal or one. The name of the Supreme Lord and the name of the demigod is not equal. It is not one. You don't get the same result. By worshipping Vishnu Tattva, you do not get the same result as worshipping Shiva Tattva or Jiva Tattva. No, you don't get the same result. They are different. So, it is said that while chanting the holy name of Krishna, the first offence and the third offence, they are destroyed when one offers obeisances to the person one has offended. So the first offence is to blaspheme the devotees or offend devotees. The third offence is to disobey the order of the gurus. So to counteract these offences, then you must beg forgiveness from the devotee or beg forgiveness from the spiritual master, whoever you have offended. But the eight other offences, they are destroyed when one develops proper knowledge. Because the other eight offences are committed when one does not have proper understanding. So therefore, one thinks that the demigods and Krishna are equal, that is because of improper understanding. So then one gets the proper understanding. And then generally, Haridas Thakur mentions in the Harinam Chintamani, when you have the proper understanding, then you must come before the Vaishnavas and you must admit your previous mentality and they will forgive you. You come before them and you said, I had some previous understanding that Krishna and Shiva were equal, like that. But now I understand by hearing from the Vaishnavas, by hearing the Bhagavatam, this is not true, please forgive me. And then you'll be cleansed of that offense. So that is the process. So we should not equate the demigods and the Supreme Lord as one and the same. That is one of the principal teachings of the Bhagavatam, that the Supreme Lord is Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. He is the original personality, and all others are simply expansions or expansions of the expansions. One must understand this very clearly. This is understood in the Bhagavatam, and it is understood by studying the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is Lord Chaitanya and his followers explaining the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now in the fourth and the fifth paragraph, Prabhupada emphasizes that a devotee must assist the Lord in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. If you read in the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya gives an analogy and he explains that he is a gardener. And he says that I am a gardener and I am picking so many fruits of love of Godhead, and he says that I am just one man. So how many fruits can I distribute myself? So therefore he says, you kindly assist me. And you also distribute these fruits on my behalf. So this is the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nyari Deketari Kara, Krishna Upadesh, Amara, Agyaya, Guru Hana, Tara Upadesh. It's interesting because if you study the lectures that Srila Prabhupada gave on the Vyasa Puja of his Guru Maharaj over the years, and whenever you go through those lectures, where Prabhupada speaks about his Guru Maharaj, the verse that he quotes the most in those lectures is that verse, Yari Deka Tarika Krishna Upadesh Amara Agyaya Guru Hana Tara Adesh. By my order, you become a spiritual master. The spiritual master, in the simple concession, orders his disciples to take up the preaching mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is giving the order. You become a guru and you deliver your land. And the spiritual master representing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the same order on behalf of Mahaprabhu to his disciples. You become a guru and you deliver your land. So that is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has come to this world to deliver the most fallen personalities, Patita Pavana. Because in Kali Yuga people are becoming more and more unqualified. The Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, he is delivering the most unqualified people. So that is the mercy. So therefore it is our mission, it is our duty, it is our life to assist Lord Chaitanya in spreading this movement. Any points? Prabhupada says it is the family business. Preaching is the family business. Dear Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you because from your abdomen sprouts the lotus flower, the origin of all living entities. You are always decorated with a lotus garland, and your feet resemble the lotus flower with all its fragrance. Your eyes are also like the petals of a lotus flower. Therefore, we always offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So, it's been described here that from the navel of the Lord comes the lotus flower. And where does that personality come from? Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. From the lotus flower which comes from his navel comes Lord Brahma, who is Swayambhu, and he creates this universe. So, Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is simply an expansion of an expansion of Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is being established within the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, Lord Brahma, we hear in the second canto, in the beginning of his creation, Lord Brahma became self-realized. And after he saw Krishna, he chanted some verses which have become very famous as the Brahma Samhita. Now the Brahma Samhita originally, when Lord Brahma spoke it, was 100 chapters. And we only have one chapter left at this point in time, on this planet. One chapter is there. That's what we call the Brahma Samhita. It is chapter 5 of the original 100 chapters. So that particular shastra was rediscovered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured through South India, and he went to the Adi Keshava temple. And he discovered the manuscript of the Brahma Samhita, and he understood that it was so valuable that he had it copied, and then he sent it back to Jagannath Puri so the devotees could copy it and then spread it amongst the Vaishnavas so that they could study it. So the Brahma Samhita is Lord Brahma's realization after realizing Krishna. So the Brahma Samhita is actually a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The entire philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam is contained within the Brahma Samhita. Now the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita is the Parivasa Sutra for the other 100 chapters. It is the essential chapter. And within that essential chapter, there is a Parivasa Sutra, or a verse which governs the entire book, that fifth chapter. Ishwara Parama Krishna, Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha, Anadya Adya Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. This is the Parivasa Sutra. This is the, you could say, like the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this verse elaborates on Ete Chamsa Kalapum Sat Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. It explains that Krishna is Sarva Karana Karana. So everyone and everything is simply a expansion of an expansion of expansion of Krishna, who is the original personality of Godhead. He is the Anadi. Anadya Adya Govinda. He is without a cause himself, but he is the cause of everything else. Who is the cause of everything else? Govinda. The cowherd boy, as you see here. Transcendental cowherd boy. Is the source of everything. So much so that when Brahma, in Brahma Vimohan Lila, later on in the Bhagavatam, when he tries to bewilder Krishna, then he realizes when he comes back to Krishna that he is completely bewildered, and he offers his prayers, and in chapter 14 he offers his prayers to Krishna, glorification. At the end of Krishna offering those prayers to Lord Brahma, Krishna simply shrugs, because Krishna cannot fully work out who this person is with four heads standing in front of him, saying all these Sanskrit prayers. So he just walked off. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So powerful that even the greatest of all the demigods comes before Him. And Krishna is just absorbed in His pastimes. He's so powerful. So this is the philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Any points?
Where did you get this from?
What?
I
heard it from my spiritual master.
So we have got only one chapter.
Yeah.
Fifth chapter.
The other 100 might be on other planets, but on this planet we only have
five.
Chapter 5. We only have one chapter on this planet. If you want to read the other chapters,
but you said that 100 were lost. So we must be
99.
99.
100 chapters?
Yes.
We have one. That is chapter 5.
Oh, okay.
Like that. All the other 99 chapters you cannot find on this planet. If you want to read them, go to another planet. Go to Chandralok.
Yes. Krishna.
That's better. But if you go there, you won't read it. Everyone's finished reading up there. Nothing to read anymore. One of the gopis has some. So they're reading something up there. What does it say, that one? It's got some writing. Can you read it? I can't read Sanskrit, so I don't know. Something is there. Dear Lord, the garment you have put on is yellowish in colour, like the saffron of a lotus flower. But it is not made of anything material. Since you live in everyone's heart, you are the direct witness of all the activities of all living entities. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you again and again. So, Prabhupada explains in the purport that the Lord wears a why does he wear yellow dhoti? Same color as Radharani. That's why he always wears. His dhoti and her complexion is the same. That's why he always wears. And she always wears something bluish. What is she wearing? Yeah, she's blue like that. So, she's always wearing bluish, she is always wearing golden. So it is said, Aratananam Sabesham Vishnu Aratanam Param Tasmat Paratram Devi Tadiyanam Samacharam. So Tadiyanam means those things which are related to Krishna are as worshipable as Krishna himself. All of Krishna's paraphernalia is as worshipable as Krishna himself. Meaning that Krishna's dhoti is as worshipable as Krishna himself. Because it is his dhoti. Yeah? It is eternal, spiritual. So everything is eternally spiritual. Everything which is used, everything we use in the service of the deities must be offered the same respect as the deities. Therefore it says, do not step over anything with your feet. Do not touch anything with your feet. Many times it was said that one devotee moved Prabhupada's typewriter with his foot and Prabhupada said, offer your obeisances to the typewriter. Because it is non-different from Lord Balaram. That's why we call Balaram Ridanga. He's non-different from Balaram. So therefore you should not touch anything with your feet. And when you go to the temple, you'd be very careful. I see sometimes when the festivals are on, Radhashtami or the other festivals, and the temple is very crowded, some devotees, they step over all the other devotees, and not the system. Right? The system is you put your hand down and you please ask the devotees to move, and then you step. You don't step over the devotees. This is uncultured. You step over like that. Who do you think you are stepping over the devotees? Krishna's property. So therefore, you always go around. Never touch anything with your feet. Okay. So Tidiyana means all the things which are connected to Krishna are as worshipable as Krishna himself. Any points? Dear Lord, we conditioned souls are always covered by ignorance in the bodily conception of life. We therefore always prefer the miserable conditions of material existence. This is a perfect description of the material world. Everyone prefers the miserable miserable conditions of material existence. Actually, Burujanka will explain one time that in the material world people become attached to misery. They like being miserable. They can't live without it. They like it. It's miserable. They're attached. Because you become attached to this material world, then you want to be miserable also. Some people argue, often they say to us, you can't understand happiness unless you have suffering. So you have to have suffering. Like that. But this is not true, because in the spiritual world there is no suffering. In the spiritual world, any suffering is transcendental ecstasy. Radharani says, Mahaprabhu says, whether you handle me roughly by your embrace or make me broken hearted by not being present before me, still you are my Lord. So the highest ecstasy is to be separated from Krishna. So therefore, there is no such thing as suffering in the spiritual world. In the material world, there is suffering. This is what the material world is all about, suffering. Just like Krishna played a big trick on everyone on Saturday. Yeah, did you see? Did you look at the newspapers or the internet or anything? What happened on the grand final? Most important day of the year. For them, more important than Janmashtami. Our biggest day is Janmashtami, their biggest day is grand final. And what happened?
Draw.
Did you see the pictures? It was hilarious. All the people, they took all the pictures of all the people, like when the siren went. You should have seen their faces. It was like the most terrible thing in the world had just happened. They're all suffering, right, because of materialism. So funny. You see all the pictures of all the people, all the players, and all the people in the audience. So some of the pictures are ridiculous. They look like the person just lost their father or something. Ridiculous pictures. It's just a game. Just a bunch of guys running around in the field, just having some fun. It's like when you're in underground. Sometimes we play soccer or something. Like that. We don't know what the end of it goes. Just a game. Like that. This is the material existence. Yeah, the guy who runs the AFL, he's in ecstasy. Because they make $200 million just on ticket sales. $200 million just on selling all the tickets. What to speak of all the media coverage and all the everything else that goes with it. That's you know, huge money. But this is the material world. You know? The material world says, the conditioned souls are always covered by ignorance in the bodily concept of life. This is called avijja. Avijja means ignorance, bodily concept of life. We think we're male, we think we're female. We think we're Australian, we think we're Indian. We think we're Collingwood, we think we are St. Kilda. Like that. It's so deep. Even myself, like I was brought up a Collingwood supporter. So it's very deep. You know? when they're in the grand final, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually explains this in it might be Sri Krishna Samhita, it's one of the books. Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually says, he said, even for a very advanced devotee, I think he says even a liberated devotee, when they are born somewhere in the material world, they think my place is the best. Everyone in the material world thinks that, like my place is the best. Like, you know, I come from Andhra Pradesh, or I come from, you know, Uttar Pradesh, or I come from Agra, or I come from, you know, Delhi. which is a big embarrassment at the moment. So everyone thinks they place the bet, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I think he says that even for the liberated souls, when they come, they have that feeling, like my place is the best. That's the nature of the material world. But this is all avidya. Avidya means it is bodily concept of life. Devotees, we don't take it so seriously. So, we therefore always prefer the miserable conditions of material existence. To deliver us from these miserable conditions, you have advented yourself in this transcendental form. This is evidence of your unlimited causeless mercy upon those who are suffering in this way. What then to speak of the devotees to whom you are always favorably disposed? Dear Lord, you are the killer of all inauspicious things. You are compassionate upon your poor devotees through the expansion of your Archa Vigraha. You should always think of us as your eternal servants. So what is being emphasized here is that to come out of avidya, we have to engage in deity worship. Otherwise you can't break the bodily concept of life. In the material world, everyone is attached to the material body. And especially we're attached to the material body of the opposite sex. And it is very difficult to break that attachment. This has been explained by Kapila Devi in the third canto. So therefore, in order to break your attachment to material form and material bodies, you must worship the transcendental form, Sri Sri Radha Balabha, Sri Sri Gauri Nitai, Sri Sri Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. This is the transcendental system. Because by reposing your attachment to the transcendental form of the Lord, you will lose your attachment to the material world. Otherwise you can't transcend. Therefore, the Bhagavat Vidhimag and the Pancharatrika Vidhimag must be practiced simultaneously or together. It means that you must perform deity worship and chanting and hearing simultaneously. Now when you hear and chant sufficiently, the deity worship comes to life. It means you read Krishna's pastimes in the Krishna book, or you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? You hear the description of the pastimes of the Lord, then you do the deity worship, and you're meditating on the Lord's pastimes. Then it comes to life, then it becomes nectarian. This is the process. You must do both simultaneously. And this will deliver you from the bodily concept of life. Any points?
But at what stage can we start doing the deity worship at home? And when we are chanting for 2 years, shall we start the proper deity worship?
Then you have to ask your guru. Do you have a spiritual master?
So
then you must have a counselor, I think. Okay. So then you speak to your authority, and then he will give you the guidance. That's the system. In spiritual life, we don't have to make our own decision. We just ask our authority, and our authority will do us it. But if you have the desire, then you speak in. And then when the Lord, out of his natural compassion, thinks of his devotee, by that process only are all desires of the neophyte devotee fulfilled. The Lord is situated in every living entity's heart, although the living entity may be very insignificant. The Lord knows everything about the living entity, including all his desires. Although we are very insignificant, why should the Lord not know our desires? So Krishna knows all of your desires within your heart. There are only two people who know all of your desires. One of them is you, and the other one is Krishna. So Krishna is always testing our motives in our devotional service. What are we actually aspiring for? And the longer you stay a devotee, the more Krishna will test you. Just like when someone is very young, right, they're a child, you don't put so much pressure on the child, because they're just a kid. And you can't say to them too much. You know, you can't say to your boy, you don't say chant 16 rounds every day. You don't say that, right? Yeah, because he can't chant 16 rounds. He's too young. When he's another 6 years, then maybe you say more. And then when he's 16, 18, like that, then you say, okay, You have to get more serious now. Okay. So that is the process. So Krishna, he is like that. No? Then the more that you practice devotional service for a longer period, and the more sincere and serious you become, the more he will test you. And he will purify you. Because he will show you your material desires. He will show you your anattas. He will show you your attachments. He will reveal to you what your motivations are, even in your service. And then you will be forced to purify yourself. Either go forward or go backwards. Devotional service can only go in two directions. You can go forwards or you can go backwards. You can't stay in one place. So if you do not meet the test which Krishna is showing you, then you go backwards. But if you purify yourself, then you go forwards. So sometimes it's very difficult to purify ourselves because conditioning is very deep. And we've been conditioned for a very long time. Just like my godbrother Chandrasekhar Prabhu, he is here at the moment. Have you met him yet? Chandrasekhar Prabhu?
Yeah.
He's here?
He's giving classes.
He's giving classes? Yeah. So, he told me he might be staying here for about 6 or 12 months in Melbourne. Maybe. But it looks like he may be doing that. He's a very advanced devotee. So he gave a class many years ago, and he said that just like when you have a band-aid and you leave it on for like 1 week or something and then you pull it off, very difficult because it becomes very attached. So he said, imagine you have a band-aid been there for many years and then you have to pull it off, very attached. So our conditioning is very deep. As devotees, we're very heavily conditioned. And sometimes Krishna tries to force you to change your conditioned nature, to become purified. And it's very difficult. It's very confronting. Because you see, actually I'm like this. Everyone has been telling me for years I am like this, but I can only realize it now. And then Krishna tries to indicate to you, okay, now you have to give up this attachment. You have to give up this conditioning. You have to give up this bad habit. You have to give up your lower nature. So all of this becomes revealed, especially when you desire to get closer to Krishna. If you want to get closer to Krishna, then you have to become purified. My spiritual master used to say, he said, it's very hard to be around very advanced devotees because your false ego becomes smashed. So it's not easy to take the association of the senior Vaishnavas, the advanced devotees. Because if you stay close to them, then you'll become smashed. Therefore, it's very purifying. And those who can do it, they will get purified rapidly. Just imagine being around Prabhupada. You listen to Prabhupada's servant speak what it was like being with him. You think, Tamal Krishnamurti said one day, I was serving prasadam to him, just in that room, the dining hall. And he walked in, and he said, do you think it was easy being with Prabhupada? What do you think it was like? It's all like, I'm with a pure devotee. Everything, it's so sweet. No, Prabhupada was heavy. It was not easy being with Prabhupada. Constantly you're being tested. You heard the pastime when Tamal Krishnamurti gave the land away? Yeah, the land in Juru. Prabhupada got that land. And then Prabhupada, the lawyers tricked Tamal Krishnamurti, I think Shamasundar, and they gave the land back. And Tamal Krishnamurti rang Prabhupada, he was in another city in India, and he said, Prabhupada, we gave the land back. And Prabhupada said, you could not have. And he just hung the phone, and Prabhupada came straight to Mumbai, like that. And then for 2 months, Prabhupada made Tamal Krishnamurti sit next to him. And every life member who came in, Prabhupada said, this foolish boy has given the land back. Now you have to help us get the land back. Like that. Imagine how Tamal Krishnamurti felt. 2 months. Prabhupada made him just sit next to him. Every single person that came in, he said, this foolish boy has given the land back. Most of us will probably last about one day. That's what it's like being with Prabhupada. So don't think that spiritual life is sentimental. Don't think being with the guru means, the guru is always nice to me, he always talks to me, he's always sweet to me. That's not what it means being with advanced devotees. If you want that, then you go and join one of the other groups where the guru is always nice and she gives you hugs all the time. Like that. But if you want to be a Vaishnava, then you must accept advanced association as purifying. It means purification of the heart. That's it. Any other points?
I was reading a Satsang with Mr. Maharaj, one of the senior counselors in Tibetan. That was also talking about the same point, how to touch down on all the mental conceptions. And the counselor was discussing with Radhana Maharaj that there was nice Kirtan going on and everyone was dancing, but he was not feeling very enthusiastic to that. So he was thinking he has become old. He's a bit aged, so he was telling Maharaj, Maharaj has become old. And in his mind, you know, my mind started pacifying, yeah, you're old, so how can you learn, how can you be enthusiastic? And he started feeling more and more old in his mind. So he was telling Maharaj, I've become old now, that is why I was not feeling very enthusiastic to learn. I don't know, like, really, my knees are not ready, that you are becoming Maharaj. And Maharaj told him that today all the young people who are dancing are going to become old tomorrow, but if you're not enthusiastic, you will become young again.
Well, I heard that your taste too, and even the spiritual master tastes you, but before he tastes you, he has the ability to pass it.
Yeah.
He doesn't taste you to put you down.
No. He gives you the test to make you a better devotee.
Now before he tests you, he gives you the ability to sit fast.
Yeah. Now Prabhupada says, with the test comes the ability to pass it by the mercy of the Guru.
Yeah.
The Guru won't give you a test that you can't pass.
Yeah. So
When he left India, 1974, he went back to America. And when Prabhupada came to America, he said, "Are you ready to come back now?" Prabhupada, when Tomokrishnaras left, he was the GPC for India for 4 years when Prabhupada was there. When he left, then Prabhupada replaced different devotees to replace him, but he couldn't find anyone. He had to keep replacing this one and then that one and then that one, and finally Gopal Krishna Maharaj was the only one who could do what Tomal Krishna Maharaj was doing. He was the only one who could handle the job. O Lord of the universe, you are the actual teacher of the science of devotional service. We are satisfied that your lordship is the ultimate goal of our lives, and we pray that you will be satisfied with us. Who's making noise? Nandi, you making it? Nandi, is it Nandi? She's doing it. O Lord of the universe, you are the actual teacher of the science of devotional service. We are satisfied that your lordship is the ultimate goal of our lives, and we pray that you will be satisfied with us. That is our benediction. We do not desire anything other than your full satisfaction. So Prabhupada emphasized in the purport that we have to work hard for Krishna. And we have to reject karma and jnana. This is bhakti. Bhakti means rejecting your material desires and serving Krishna with all of your energy. Just like Srila Prabhupada would say that he has... I was listening... This morning or yesterday, I was listening to a lecture by Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he was saying that he was looking through his... He was in Dallas, and he was looking through his... Hey, come on. You have to be quiet, otherwise I can't find you. So, he was looking through his letters, which Prabhupada had written him. He has them all in a folder. And he said some of the letters were never published. You know, and then we have the letters books, like in the archives. But he said actually quite a few of them were not published. He still got them personally, maybe now they're published, like that. So he was reading one letter that Prabhupada wrote to him in 1972. And Srila Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj in 1972, he said, "Now I am very old, and I am absorbed in management. He said, "Actually, I want to give this up. so I can just concentrate on my translation work. The Prabhupada said, but you know, at this point in time, because I cannot do that, because maybe my disciples are not fully qualified, he said, I'm giving every ounce of my energy to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So this is the mood of the devotees. We have to give every ounce of our energy. Even if we get tired, even if we get sick, even if, you know, so many things, so many obstacles, we have to give everything to satisfy Krishna. That is bhakti. No karma, no jnana, just everything. And you see when Prabhupada took all of those original devotees to India, how much he pushed them. 1970, 71, 72, 73, 74, Prabhupada was just pushing them so much to spread this movement. So that is the move. That is what it takes to attain Krishna. One has to give everything and reject all karma or jnana. That is bhakti. Dear Lord, we shall therefore pray for your benediction because you are the Supreme, beyond all transcendence, and because there is no end to your opulences. Consequently, you are celebrated by the name Ananta. Dear Lord, when the bee approaches this celestial tree called the Parijata, it certainly does not leave the tree because there is no need for such action. Similarly, when we have approached your lotus feet and taken shelter of them, what further benediction may we ask of you? So devotee is just satisfied with serving Krishna. He doesn't want anything else but to serve Krishna. Why is the devotee so attracted to Krishna? Because Krishna is Madhusudan. Krishna is Madhu. Madhu means the personification of sweetness. So just like the bee is always looking for the honey, the pollen in the flower, the devotee is always attracted to Krishna because Krishna is unlimitedly sweet. Krishna is not material, Krishna is fully spiritual. So devotee is always attracted to him, attracted to his sweetness. Just like I remember last year I was in Mayapur, and His Holiness Radhanath Swami brought the Chaupati devotees. How many were there? Last year, I think 4,500 it might have been. Like that. So you know what it's like. So every evening Maharaj was outside in the pandal and he was giving lecture every night. So all the devotees were going there. Maybe 5,000 devotees or more, maybe. So I was going down every night to hear the lectures. But then one night, because I was in Mayapur for about a week, but because I was going to the lectures, I wasn't spending as much time with Radha Madhava. So one night I was going down, but then in my heart I was feeling I want to go to be with Radha Madhava. Right? I just want to be with them. So I went into the temple and I just sat there for, you know, maybe 1 hour or something, just taking darshan of Radha Madhava. And then, because I'd made that choice, Krishna had directed me in my heart to make that choice, then Radhanath Swami came in after the lecture and he led Damodar Ashtika. And it was the most transcendental Damodar Ashtika I've ever, ever, ever been in. Maharaj had one devotee playing a flute. It wasn't even an ordinary flute. It was like this big kind of fat flute, which made a sound which was like from the heavenly planets. Right? And Maharaj was singing, and then he would stop in between his verse and the devotee would play the tune that he was singing in that flute sound. And he had all devotees around him playing all different instruments. And it was not from this world. Honestly, it was like the most transcendental kirtan. And you could feel everyone, it was completely transcendental. So this is the nature of Krishna. Krishna attracts us because he is personification of sweetness. Like that. So we have to become more and more and more attracted to Krishna. And then you will never leave ISKCON. If you don't become attracted to Krishna, then Maya may take you. So you have to become attracted to Krishna. His name, his form, his qualities, and his pastimes. Dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world, due to our material contamination, and wander from one type of body to another, and from one planet to another, we pray that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. We pray for this benediction life after life in different bodily forms and on different planets. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, this is a new section. We're going to verse 36 tonight, but verses 22 to 32 is describing the process of bhakti, like that. And now, in these verses, it describes explicitly, in these several verses, the glories of hearing and chanting about Krishna. So you're here now, we only do four of the verses, tomorrow night we'll hopefully finish the chapter. So now, it is explained here by Prabhupada in the purport that by hearing and chanting, one is no longer in the material world. By hearing and chanting about Krishna, one becomes fully satisfied. So even if he stays in the material world, he does not feel any disturbance in the material world. This is the secret of success in spiritual life. Absorb yourself in hearing and chanting about Krishna, and then the material world will come and go. Just like the famous example is there of Janak Maharaj, who is one of the 12 Mahajanas, who is the father of Sita Devi. So one time his treasury was on fire. A big treasury was on fire. And one of the devotees, one of his servants came to him and said, Maharaj, he was listening to the Bhagavatam. And he said, Maharaj, the treasury is on fire. So he just turned to the devotee because he's a very powerful kshatriya. He turned to him and said, okay, you tell him to go and do that and you tell him to go and do that and they will take care of it. Like that. So tell them what to do, they went, and then you just sat there and kept listening to the Bhagavatam. So when you're in the material world, even there's so much distress, but if you're hearing Bhagavatam, if you're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you won't feel any distress in this material world. This is the secret. Even a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to being transferred to heavenly planets or even merging into the Brahman effulgence in complete liberation. For living entities who are destined to give up the body and die, association with pure devotees is the highest benediction. So nothing is more satisfying in the material world than associating with a pure devotee. So always, just like Kartik Ratra is coming soon, we're in the third month of Chaturmasya, so it's less than 1 month till Kartik comes. As we said last week or the week before, you should in your mind be preparing for your Kartik Vrats. Already you should be preparing. So one of the Kartik Vrats is recommended whenever and wherever there is discussion on the Bhakti Shastras, devotee must go there. Sometimes we say, well, I won't go to class because, you know, different reasons. But in Kartik, you go. That is the only priority. Right? So, the most powerful way to advance in Krishna consciousness is getting association with pure devotees. So, especially like in Kartik, then we put everything else aside. And we only aspire to get association of pure devotees. So that is how we advance in Krishna consciousness. And when you become greedy, when you become eager to advance in Krishna consciousness, you will always take the opportunity to associate with pure devotees. And I can tell you, because my spiritual master is no longer in this world, that if you have a spiritual master who is in this world, you should take every opportunity to associate with that person. Or with those people. Whoever your gurus are, you take every opportunity of that. Above and beyond everything else. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was telling that when he had his bus party, they would have the bus, and they were in America, and Prabhupada would fly to Los Angeles. So they would drive the bus to Los Angeles, and we'd meet Prabhupada there, and they would associate with Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada would fly the plane the next morning to another city, I don't know where, maybe like Boston or something. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Vishnujana Swami and the other devotees would get on the bus and drive all night, so that the next morning when Prabhupada flew, he only flew for 1 hour, But when Prabhupada flew, they were there waiting for Prabhupada to get more of his association. So that is what it takes. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you must get the association of the pure devotees. And then if you get their association, everything is perfect. You don't mind if you're in the material world or the spiritual world. It's exactly the same. When you're with your spiritual master, it doesn't matter. It's all the same. Spiritual world, material world is the same thing. Whenever pure topics of the transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for the time being. Not only that, but they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. So that's why I like this course, is because I feel that whenever we come together, there is no anxiety, there is no fear, there is no envy. That is there because whenever you chant the Srimad Bhagavatam, then it uplifts everyone's consciousness to the platform. Just like sometimes, even amongst the devotees, there is envy. You know, and devotees have some envious feelings. But that's why I like coming to this course, because then I shut the doors like that, we all come inside, and then you don't have to worry about the material world. It's all, that can do whatever it wants. And then we go back out, and then okay, there may be something there. But at least you have to get association, at least in some place, where you don't get all the material problems. This is Vaikuntha, because Prabhupada quotes in this section, the Lord is not in Vaikuntha, the Lord is not in the heart of the yogi, the Lord is in the place where the devotees are hearing and chanting about Him. And then the Lord manifests in that place. Giriraj is manifesting. So therefore this is Goloka Dham. Okay, last verse for tonight. The Supreme Lord Narayana is present among devotees who are engaged in hearing and chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Narayana is the ultimate goal of sannyasis, those in the renounced order of life, and Narayana is worshipped through the Sankirtan movement by those who are liberated from material contamination. Indeed, they recite the holy name again and again. So Prabhupada, no, actually, Jiva Goswami explains that one of the principal points of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to glorify the holy name. So verses like this, you can see how intrinsic they are to making us understand the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole point of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to glorify Sankirtan. The devotees come together congregationally and chant the holy name of the Lord. Under the auspices of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the process of perfection. So we'll stop here for tonight, and tomorrow night we'll try to finish the chapter, which means that after this there's only one more chapter to go, chapter 31. And then what happens at the end of chapter 31, Ananya? Exam. So there's an exam at the end of chapter 31. So it's coming very soon. If you have open book exams, hand them in. Otherwise, after tomorrow night, I shall not accept them. And closed book exam is coming. We'll set the date very soon. And then we'll have 3-4 months, and then we'll get back together in February by the mercy of Krishna to begin Canto 5. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. 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 Yeah.